This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Lindsay Roush from Oxford, Indiana, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for April 11th, episode 1402. This episode is brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, Horse World.
Yep, it's Monday.
All right, let's take it from the top again.
Well, good morning, everybody, and thank you for joining us on this Monday morning. We appreciate you being here. Jamie is still on vacation. She notified me on Saturday that they weren't going to be home probably till later today, and it looks like, judging by the pictures, they were having a wonderful time. And at the same time she notified me she wasn't going to be on vacation, our auditor, Lindsay, sent me a little note and said, hey, if you need anybody to fill in next week, I'm free. And I said, yes, you're in Monday. So I didn't give you much time to think about it, did I? I just like, you're in.
Nope. I mean, the nerves didn't hit until about 30 seconds ago.
And all that's partly because we're having all kinds of sound issues with your sound and Jennifer's sound. I thought I was going to be doing the show alone there for a minute. But Lindsay, thank you so much for filling in. I think this is only the second time that a listener has hosted Horses in the Morning.
I think it is, and I'm really thinking that you have to be banned at least once, because Robin was the other one to host, and she got banned at least three times before she hosted.
I think she's still banned, actually. And I can't remember what I banned you for.
No, banning Robin.
I can't remember what I banned you for. It was something that you said that I took offense at. So, I can't ban Jamie when she picks on me all the time, because she's kind of neater. But you guys I can ban. But obviously, I need to do a better job.
Yeah, but you still can't get rid of us.
You know, that's true. And I obviously need to do a better job of keeping track of who I banned and haven't banned. I need a book. I need the Glenn banned book, so I know who's been banned. Well, anyway, thank you for stopping by. I guess I'll unban you now, because I kind of don't want to do the show by myself. So,
and that would be Glenn in the Morning.
That's right. That's right. Nobody wants to hear that. Well, Lindsay was part of our Year of the Listener already. We did an interview with Lindsay on the Stable Scoop Show, episode 390. So if you want to, you can take a listen to that. If you haven't already, head over to stablescoop.com and look for episode 390. And we're going to talk more with Lindsay in just a minute about her and her horses and what her story is. But first, we have to hear from Jennifer. And this is another thing right before the show to just make Lindsay more nervous, is our guest canceled. And it was literally 10 minutes before the show. So Jennifer, do we have anything on today's show other than Lindsay and I?
Nothing will happen on today's show. We're taking a page from the Seinfeld playbook, and this show will be about nothing. Not really. Coming up on today's Omega Alpha Equine Edition, worry not, because once we have covered the weekend's exploits, as we do every Monday, we will hit up the horsey headlines. And then mid-show, we're going to tap into Story Jam Theater podcast, and we're going to hear from one of our favorite non-horsey people, Diane Daniels, for whom we enjoyed a visit, week before last? A lot of fun. And then in the third half of the show, the Horse Nation March Madness nail biter came to a dramatic conclusion, and Lorraine is going to stop by to announce the winner. And of course, Wiley is here, and she is going to repeatedly hit the laugh track button. And last but not least, happy Cheese Fondue Day, everybody. Please celebrate responsibly.
Cheese Fondue Day, is that what you said?
Cheese Fondue.
Well, okay. I like cheese fondue.
You just made me hungry.
Yeah, I know. I like chocolate fondue better, I think. But let's do our daily winnies. Thank you. Well, my Daily Winnie today goes out to Beaker, Jennifer's horse Beaker, for all of his years of keeping Jennifer happy and being a faithful companion to Scooter and being part of our family. We really appreciate that. Beaker is heading to his new home, Wednesday, right, Jennifer? And Jennifer got to take Beaker out yesterday. What was that thing called? It's kind of like an ACTHA thing, but it wasn't ACTHA. What was it?
Called Equine Trail Sports is the organization, which I love because it says exactly what it is. It's, of course, Equine Trail Sports. And it's a competitive trail ride. And the one I entered is a trail ride. Our trail ride was a total of about 6 miles. And you go uphill and downhill and around the countryside. But interspersed are obstacles that are judged on horsemanship. One of the obstacles, for example, we had to back up a hill and around a turn, back around a post, and then back down the hill and around the turn. And they don't judge you so much on the fact that you did it. They judge you on how well you did it. So it's a little bit like an equitation class for trail riders, maybe. It's all judged on horsemanship, but it was a lot of fun. They had about 17 riders on Sunday. They had a total of 35 rides on Saturday for this thing. So it was very successful, and it was a lot of fun. Met a lot of nice folks there, had tons and tons of door prizes, and I got a little ribbon. Beaker and I got fourth place. Yay! And then we had a good time.
Tell everybody what you won, which will be ironic, by the way.
I won several things. I won a door prize, which is, I'm not sure if I'm getting a pair or a single Cavallo hoof boot. Yay, because Beaker's hoof boots are not going to fit Nigel, who's got feet like a pie plate. So I'm very excited about that because he's going to need some boots for when we're out checking around on the roads. And I also won a scratch-off ticket to win a discount at an online tax store. And I also won a water bucket. Like I said, they had tables and tables and tables of prizes and raffles. Yeah, it's a big doing. So if any of you have the opportunity to go to an equine trail sports event, they're all over the country, give them a try. It was a lot of fun.
It was interesting, too. I was there and I was watching, and they're very good about explaining everything to everybody and what you have to do when you get to each obstacle. And this was at Black Prong, which is a carriage driving venue where they hold CDEs. So some of the obstacles were done in the obstacles where they do the CDEs. So that was kind of cool. And it's a beautiful place. I mean, it's just beautiful. And it adjoins a 5,000-acre forest that has trails all through it.
Yeah, you could ride for a couple of days. Each day, this was a two-day competition, and each day was separate competitions. You could enter one or both days. They had a new trail to go on. So on Saturday, they rode on one trail around, and on Sunday, they rode on a different. So I was surprised how many people who were there did the arena trail challenge, which is held inside of an arena, obviously. They did the trail challenge as well on Saturday, which was about 6 or 7 miles. And then on Sunday, they did another one, which is another 6 or 7 miles. These people are really, like, hardcore.
Well, it was a beautiful day. Fun here, but much better than the weather up where Lindsay lives. But we'll talk about that in a minute. First, your Daily Winnie.
My Daily Winnie goes out to Jamie Jennings and her going on vacation. Just to say, thank you for going on vacation so that I can enact my secret plan of taking over your job. So if you decide to stay in Hawaii a few days longer, you'll just help with my plan there. I might be kidding a little bit, but probably not really.
Jamie, she looked like she was having a great time there. We do want to talk to you this morning. We're going to be taking callers today. We want to hear what you did over the weekend, if you did anything fun. Maybe you got a new horse or a new job. I know one of our auditors just announced this morning that she got a fantastic new job. Whatever's going on in your life, we want to hear about it. We do this every once in a while, and we thought it'd be fun with Lindsay, with a fellow auditor here. And Lindsay, am I getting this wrong? I don't remember because it's been so long. Were you the one that started the auditor's Facebook page?
Yeah, I started that on a whim one day. Never thought it would grow into what it has become today.
That was Lindsay's idea. That was not my idea. Yeah, we started the auditors, but it was Lindsay's idea to have a Facebook page. And I said, sure, why not? Maybe a couple people will show up and they'll, you know, maybe there'll be a few conversations in there. And we always talk about this in the shows, and I don't think people believe it. It is one of the most active Facebook pages. You guys truly have become a family.
And I've got to give a lot of credit to Ken, because once he joined the group, that's really when it started taking off. I was throwing out, you know, little questions every once in a while, but he showed up, started tagging articles, and all of a sudden it exploded.
Jeez, don't give the guys in there any leeway, because you'll see, and they're also good at creating memes in there, the guys. So yeah, they definitely have been the smart. You needed a few guys in there to keep it snarky. So they did a good job with that. But thank you for doing that a year ago, probably now. But it's fun, and it has been an active, fun place for people. They're all the time saying in there, I feel like you guys are my horse family. And that is what it has become. But we want to hear from you this morning. Give us a call at 435-272-1997. And now we have lots of time, seeing our guests canceled. So 435-272-1997. Give us a call, no matter what you have to talk about, if you're listening right now. So, Lindsay, tell us a little bit. You're a Western rider, right? For those that did not listen to the Stable Scoop episode.
Yeah, I do Western, just hacking out currently. I'd like to do the competitive trail stuff that Jen was just talking about, but got to find someone who's going to do it in the area, since the only event quit running about a month after I bought my horse.
Of course. And you live in Indiana, Illinois?
Indiana.
Are you in the country, Indiana?
Oh, yeah. I'm looking out my office window. I can see a cornfield and a soybean field and a gravel road. And that's about it.
That's why we were having so much trouble getting any kind of connection.
Oh, my gosh. Lindsay, April 23rd and 24th, Martinsville, Indiana. There's one. How far is Martinsville?
I'm definitely going to have. Actually, I can't do that. I'm going to be traveling internationally that weekend.
Well, come on now.
Priorities, Lindsay. I know. Priorities.
Oh, there's another one in May in Martinsville.
All I needed was Jen.
That's right. She does the research for you.
And then there's another one in June in Martinsville. There's lots of them. Go for it, gal.
Definitely.
Well, we also on Saturday got to take the new guy out. We brought, Jennifer is getting some callers lined up here, by the way, if you want to give us a call, it's 435-272-1997. We got to bring Nigel out to the Florida Horse Park. It was his first time away from home, and really the first time that Jennifer's ridden him away from home. And there happened to be a paint show going on that day at the Florida Horse Park. And let me tell you, this thoroughbred, who hasn't had much experience in life, certainly did not know what to make of those paints. That was a whole different world. And I got to tell you, Lindsay, I know you're a Western rider and all, but if I have now officially found something more boring than dressage, and that is in-hand classes in the paint world. That truly is like watching paints dry. I got to tell you.
And they try, yeah.
And that, bad pun intended.
Oh, wow.
It was boring.
How long did it take you to come up with that one?
It was boring. It was so boring. Anyway, but
sparkly, though.
Yeah, very, very, sparkly. Very sparkly. Everybody was very sparkly, which also Nigel didn't know what to think about. But Jennifer actually got off and walked him around because he was all buggy-eyed at everything. But then you got back on and managed to trot and did very well with him. He seemed to settle right in. So
the most amazing part of my day is I managed to get back on my horse without a mounting block. That was impressive.
It wasn't pretty, but it was impressive.
I didn't know that was even possible in English stirrups. They're always so short.
Wow.
And the horse is 16 and a half hands, so... Our first caller on the line today. It's one of our auditors, and actually it's the one I just mentioned a little bit ago. Good morning, Misty. How are you?
Good morning. Well, I am great this morning.
I bet you are.
I got good news over the weekend, so I'm doing good.
Tell us about your good news.
Well, I moved to Pennsylvania about 5 years ago from Oklahoma, which was a big move cross country for me due to my husband's loss of a job during the Great Recession, and then finding a job in Pittsburgh, which is, it's okay because it's only about an hour from where I grew up in Ohio. So, you know, I knew the area a little bit and stuff. But I've been substitute teaching and teaching since moving here. But formerly, before moving to Pennsylvania, I worked in research and at the College of Vet Med at Oklahoma State University. So I kind of took a little vacation from doing that kind of work and have really enjoyed teaching, and haven't really applied for a lot of jobs back in my original field until I saw this job come up at Carnegie Mellon University, which is, it's a position managing a large research group in the biomedical engineering department at Carnegie Mellon University. So I'm very excited to be back in my field.
And that's right in Pittsburgh, isn't it, Carnegie Mellon?
It is, right. It is in Pittsburgh. So it'll be commuting. The pay is great, but the huge benefit I'm looking at is I have a 17-year-old soon to go to college, and they have, or almost 17-year-old, and they have really great education benefits.
So does this mean that your 17-year-old's now going to Carnegie Mellon whether they want to or not?
Well, if she gets accepted there, yes, she's going there no matter what. But
that's right.
They actually reciprocate with any school, so wherever she goes, like, it'll be a great benefit. So, yeah,
well, congratulations.
Thank you. I'm very, very excited. However, the one thing that teaching did allow was a lot of time riding my horses and fox hunting and roading hounds and, you know, all the fun kind of stuff. Like, you know, summers off were really great. But that's not going to be the case anymore. Well, I'll be the weekend warrior.
I've always said on this show that we're always amazed when we find out how smart our listeners are, and we're always amazed that they listen to us. And you just are another proof of that. I mean, jeez. On your Facebook page what your job was, I didn't understand half the words. So
yeah, you should check out their page and see some of the kind of research. I mean, biomedical engineering, it's that cutting edge technology that is going to take us into the future as far as you know, tissue engineering. These are the guys that are engineering, you know, body parts and skin for burn victims and new heart material and skipping the whole like transplant process.
Wow.
So you should really, like, if you have a chance to check out that field, it's really cutting edge. It's great technology and you know, it's really meant to benefit humanity, you know, not like DARPA funding. We're not trying to make anything to
You're not making military robots to kill people.
Not in my space, no. I don't know about the rest of the building. I don't know. But they wouldn't tell me what's on one floor yet, so I don't know what's down there.
Well, congratulations. That's very exciting.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm super excited. It's a fantastic opportunity for me. And you know, if it weren't something really great, I don't think I would have ever gotten back into research. You know, at the vet school, unfortunately, a lot of what we did, you know, we worked with animals a lot, and it was just a part that I couldn't go back and do that again. But this is really, you know, no animals will be harmed in the making of human body parts.
You'll just be using 3D printers, and you'll be good to go.
Actually, we do a lot of 3D printing, like, that kind of stuff. Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm going to step in here about just how smart she has to be. Because at Purdue, we had a biomedical engineering program. And not only did you have to make a GPA mark to get into the school that was higher than any other engineering program, you had to pass this crazy, ridiculous, make the SAT look easy kind of test just to be considered for an interview to get into the school. I was like, no, thank you. I'm not that smart.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, in fact, some of the people that I had to interview with 6 people for this position.
Whoa.
And I, of course, vetted the resumes and kind of looked to see what their research interests were and what they had done. And I mean, I was talking with the first person to characterize live fluorescent microscopy of cells, and I was talking with a person who has, I think, 11 or 12 patents in for parts of, like, I don't know what else to say. It sounds odd, but heart parts, parts of human heart,
yeah.
You know. All of them have their own private business outside of their research appointment at Carnegie Mellon. So, I mean, it's just like the depth of knowledge of the people that I was interviewing with was something that, you know, was unique, you know, for me. Like, I've always worked with brilliant people, but these were another whole level. It's another tier of brilliant people.
Sheldon brilliant. They're Sheldon brilliant.
Yes, there were. I think I interviewed with six different Sheldons in their own different way. It
That's
was
funny.
Just, you know, it was amazing.
Well, congratulations.
Just to be a part of that group is a great honor.
When do you start?
The 25th. I start the 25th of April. Since I'm currently substitute teaching, I looked at my calendar and I called my principal and we discussed the time, and I really wanted to get, you know, going with this new position. So I took 2 weeks, and I will begin my new career.
Well, good for you, Misty. We're very excited for
you.
And thank
Me
you
too.
So much for letting us know. Keep us informed
Absolutely.
On the Facebook page, okay?
Absolutely. I'll let you know.
All right.
Congratulations. All
right, thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, we're going to Jennifer. We're supposed to, let me see here. We're going to, oh, Ruby next. Hi, Ruby. How are you?
Hi. Hi, Glenn. Hi, Lindsay.
So
hey,
Jennifer
morning.
Said you got a new job, too. Now, you're in high school yet, so, right?
Yes, I'm in high school.
That's what I thought. So what's...
Sophomore, I believe.
You believe? You don't know?
Well, I'm homeschooled, so it's like, and I always mix up the middle kids, excuse me, the second year and the third year, so I can never remember which, and honestly, which is, homeschoolers never really know what they did. They just did the homeschool work, and it'll get done eventually.
That's true. So what's up with you?
I just got goats a couple weeks ago. So I'm out with them actually right now.
You just got goats. I know you have a million chickens.
Yes, I do.
Ruby has a million chickens and all kinds of fowl. And you're a bird watcher too. You're just into birds of all kinds. So what prompted the goats? That's like a long way. They don't have feathers or nothing.
Well, my dad used to have goats. And so he kind of knew the whole goat operation and whatnot. We still had old goat pens and stuff around the yard. But we don't really want to drink that crappy store-bought milk anymore. And plus, I'm getting more and more dairy intolerant. But people who drink goat's milk oftentimes don't have a problem, even if they are, but they can't handle the lactose and regular cow's milk. So I want to be able to drink a giant glass of chocolate milk and not have to worry about stomach cramps later on. So that's what these guys are for.
My mother-in-law has dairy goats, and she keeps trying to get me to drink the milk or have the cheeses they make or the butter.
Healthy.
And it's like one taste, and I'm like, you can keep it. I can't get over that taste. I just can't do it.
It's very rich. You know, we love goat's cheese, but goat cheese is so good, but it's very rich and creamier almost.
Yeah. It's the taste of the milk also depends on the breed. A lot of people say when you're getting into goats that you want to have the milk. Try the milk and the breed of goats that you're getting. Make sure you like it. We tried La Mancha milk, and we tried Nubian milk, and the Nubian milk is the closest tasting to cow's milk, people say. So we went ahead and got Nubians with big, long, floppy ears.
I think it also depends what they're eating. Like if they're eating your clothing off the line and your old
true.
Socks and stuff like that, the milk's going to taste different, right? Goats are such a pain in the ass. You realize that, Ruby, right?
They can be a little bit, yeah, they have a personality.
Yeah, so yeah, that's a polite way of saying they're a pain.
I haven't gotten annoyed with them too much because I haven't gotten out yet. My dad, you know, he's been through the whole goat thing, so he knew exactly what to do to be able to keep them contained. A lot of people have trouble keeping them contained, and there's reason for the saying, if the pen can't hold water, it won't hold a goat.
Oh,
I never heard that before, but that's pretty true.
Yeah, it's a saying I've heard now that I've delved into the goat world.
Well, you know, good luck with the goats. Yeah. And I've been enjoying seeing all the pictures of all your birds. I've been enjoying that too.
Thank
so.
You.
All right, we'll let you go.
I'm trying to create my own chicken breed. All right,
thanks, Ruby.
Nice talking with y'all.
All right, bye.
All right, bye.
I don't think we've talked horses at all this morning. We have Haley coming up next. Hi, Haley. Welcome to the show. Oh, this is intern Haley.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning, intern Haley.
Hey, intern Haley. You know, if you were here, we'd have a truly off cast for the day.
I called in to talk about my weekend.
Well, what'd you do?
I've been getting into a lot of organizing lately in my local community. And last month, I organized a saddle fitting clinic that was small but really successful at the university. And last Saturday, I organized a larger intro to dressage clinic. And it was a huge success. It was a hit. We had maybe 30 people show up.
Wow.
And people kind of came and went throughout the day. And this is an area that's supposed to be kind of Western town. And I think some of the people were skeptical as to whether or not it would happen. And so it felt really good to have such a good turnout. We began with a morning lecture and then some demo rides. I rode my horse training level. And then we kind of had riders. We had a couple Western riders come and try it out the first time, a barrel racer, someone else who had never trotted their horse before, and it was a really good experience. We saw lots of different levels and types of horses, and it was a cool day. It was really exciting.
You know, we're so used to you being intern Haley and us picking on you all the time that I actually forget you can actually ride.
Thanks, son.
You're welcome.
Thanks a lot.
No, that was meant to be a compliment. I do. I sometimes forget that you're like this accomplished rider.
I don't know about accomplished. We're working on that.
Well, that's kind of neat that you took the initiative to do that, though, and organize it, because, you know, that's what it takes, right? I mean, that's what it takes to get something started in an area is somebody like you.
Honestly, I guess someone like me. It started out maybe a year ago. I got tired of nothing happening in my, you know, small town. And so there was a riding club, but they were very small and they were kind of exclusive and they were nice, but I just didn't really want to get out there and meet new people and kind of change the way they do things to adapt to the growing, you know, new world. And it just kind of happened this way. I organized some trail rides. I tried to do a horse show, but that was too big too soon. I do that sometimes. but then I did some small clinics last summer, and over time it grew, and I approached the university and said, hey, this is what I have done, and this is the results I had, and this is what I want to do. And I guess the take-home message is that if there's something you want to do in your valley, or if you are tired of nothing happening, sometimes you got to kind of pull yourself up by your bootstraps and to start making friends and start doing stuff. And what I learned is that you don't have to have a great outcome the first time. It happens in stages. You have to make friends with one person, another, and when someone can't make it, you invite them the next time. And then suddenly everybody starts to become friends, and then suddenly you have a community. So it's been fun.
Haley, you are definitely my hero, because I've thought about, okay, so there's no trail rides in my area. I'll just put one together. I thought, there's no way just a normal person can do this. So, yeah, if Glenn would allow it, I'd love to hear you come back on and talk through, like, the whole process you go through to put these events together and who you work with. It just sounds amazing.
wreak more havoc. Yeah, that's
exactly.
Good.
Glenn, yeah, I think you have a guest for sure. Coming up.
That sounds good. Thanks for letting me come on. You guys have a good day.
One of our listeners down here in Ocala, Denise, does the same thing. She just has been on Facebook and made a ton of Facebook posts about, and she trail rides almost every day. I mean, she goes somewhere almost every day. And she just posts on Facebook, and now she has this whole gaggle of people that go out trail riding together all the time. So, Lindsay, it can be done. I mean, you know, it's just a matter, and Facebook makes it so easy to do now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Totally go through Facebook.
Yeah.
You have to tell yourself, even if it's just you and one other person, that's one more person that you had last time.
Right.
Very true.
Well, good for you, Haley.
Good job. Thanks so much. I'll talk to you guys soon.
All right. And we got to put you back to work now that, but now see, she doesn't have time to intern anymore because she's too busy organizing events and stuff.
I graduate in May, start of May.
Oh, do you?
And then I'll need something to do with myself. Yeah. It's so scary coming up on graduation and being like, well, now what?
Now I have to like all get a job and live a life.
I guess. I hope maybe the university will hire me someday.
Having a real job is completely overrated, just so you know.
So I'll just be a gypsy soul until then, I suppose.
Thank you, Haley.
Thanks.
All right, bye. So we're going to take a break. We are brought to you today by our good friends at Omega Alpha Equine. If you're looking for all natural supplements for your horse, if you really want to get away from chemicals and you want to go back to natural supplements, then Omega Alpha Equine is the way to go. You know, Dr. Chang comes on here once a month with us and talks about all the different types of supplements they have, but he only gets to a few of them. They have supplements for blood conditions to improve that, gut and digestive tract. They have a half a dozen products for digestion, energy, hormone levels, immunity, joints, kidneys, and on and on and on. You know, Jamie and we use products, many different products. We talk about certain ones all the time. Biotic 8 is one that is a digestive product that Jamie uses on all of her horses, and we're going to start using here shortly on our new one because it works. And, you know, they also have the general vitamins as well. Minirac is one that you should take a look at. And, you know, Dr. Chang was just on a week or two ago talking about how it's that time of year for allergies and you have to worry about respiration and all of that. And they have a half a dozen products for the respiratory system and to help with allergies and breathing, lung flush being one of them. They also do educational stuff, and the one nice thing about their website is you go to megaalphaequine.com and go to the educational section, and it talks about the seminars that they have done and that they're doing, and you can actually click on there, and you can listen to the past seminars that they have done. So it makes it very easy to go on and to, you know, really improve your education. Here's a couple. Hormone health for horses, respiratory support, performance and recovery, immune health, digestive health, and on and on and on. So we want you to visit OmegaAlphaEquine.com. If you're heading to Rolex with us, then we definitely want you to stop by the booth and talk to Jeff. He is the most knowledgeable one there. He'll be there. And Jeff's a great guy. Just tell him you heard about Omega Alpha Equine on Horses in the Morning. So check him out. You can also follow him on Facebook at Omega Alpha Equine. Well, looks like we don't have any callers right now. So I thought I would share with you. Do you remember, Lindsay, did you hear the show where we had the Brooklyn girl, the other podcaster who stopped in to the studio one morning that had the really, really thick Brooklyn accent, Diane Daniels? Do you remember her?
I remember.
Yeah. And she had the thickest Brooklyn accent you've ever heard. And she knows nothing about horses. And she was just stopping in because she's looking at doing her own morning show. And she was looking at doing live radio like we are. And so she was stopping in to see how it all worked. Well, she was recently a guest on a podcast that I really like called Story Jam Theater. My friend Chris here from Florida does it. And Story Jam Theater is basically like mini TED Talks. If you're familiar with what TED Talks are, these are like tiny little TED Talks. They do these in front of an audience, and he records them and puts them out on Story Jam Theater. And it's all about inspiring stories or funny stories or something that's affected your life. And they've had some amazing stories. Jennifer and I, when we travel, we'll play 10 of them in a row because they're only about 10 minutes long. Well, right after Diane was here in the studio, she did a Story Jam Theater. So let's take a listen to Story Jam Theater. This is one with Diane, who, if you listen to the show regularly, you're going to know the voice. So this is Diane.
Welcome to Story Jam Theater. I'm your host, Chris Kremitzos. If you're moved and inspired by stories, then you're in the right place. On today's show, we're featuring a first-timer to the Story Jam stage, Diane Daniels, and she shares a very heartfelt, emotional, and funny story about someone that was very near and dear to her. So enjoy today's story.
The death of a child, by far, is the most heart-wrenching event a person can go through. For me, I had a combined 20 years as a volunteer on an ambulance and working for New York City EMS. I followed that up by working for almost a quarter of a century as a police officer. So how did I deal with crimes against children, atrocities to children? I didn't. I checked my emotions back at the precinct because I had to act. You need me to act. You need me to do the Heimlich maneuver to save your child from choking. You need me as a police officer to protect your children from predators, to do investigations of atrocities, of murders to children, to bring those perps into that trial room and beyond a reasonable doubt, get them a life sentence or the death penalty. You need me to act. There's no room for emotion. Well, several years later, my sister's oldest child had a terrific, horrible, horrendous accident, and he died at 6 years of age. My sister and my brother-in-law, understandably, were zombies. My family were beside themselves. Everybody was crazy. So how did I deal with the death of a child so close to home and in my heart? I didn't. I checked my emotions back at the precinct because I had to act. I had to be there for my family. I had to arrange everything. I had to orchestrate everything from the accident to at the hospital where my nephew was now having surgery. He was in a coma. My sister had to make the decision to put him on life support. And then she had to make that heart-grueling decision to take him off life support. The funeral, and then the ceremony at the cemetery. I had to act, everybody. I had to act. No time for emotions. Well, part of my sister and brother-in-law's grieving process was to visit my nephew's gravesite every weekend for years. Not me. When we left that cemetery the day of the funeral and those gates closed behind us, I never went back to that cemetery again. Every year around the anniversary of my nephew's death, maybe a week, sometimes 2 weeks beforehand, I was kind of like in a funk. I really don't know how to explain it to you because I didn't express emotions around death. So I was kind of like in a funk. And that's what happens to me every year. About 10 years after that, It was approaching the time of my nephew's anniversary of his death. It's in the springtime, and it was a beautiful spring day. And I was in my funk. I was a little off. But something was different on this day. I missed my nephew. I was missing Ryan. I didn't understand that. I didn't know what it meant. And frankly, I didn't know what to do about it. And I wrestled with that for several hours. And then I said to myself, why not go to the graveyard? Let's go to the gravesite and I'll visit Ryan's gravesite. And part of myself said, don't forget to pick up sandwiches for a picnic. That's exactly what I did. I stopped at my favorite delicatessen, got lunch, went to the cemetery, put my New York Yankee blanket down, set my food up really nice, beautiful sunny day, birds singing, weather warm, gentle breeze. You know what? This wasn't so bad. Two rows over, I saw an elderly man wearing a cowboy hat, and he had a large watering can, and he was watering the flowers around the gravesite. And that just brought back memories from my brother-in-law, who I told you would go to his son's gravesite every weekend, and he would tell me about these stories of these four men. He called them the cowboys because they wore cowboy hats and they took care of their wives' gravesite. Lawn was manicured in this little 10 by 12 square. Flowers were fresh. All were watered. So I knew he was one of the cowboys. So I waved to him. He acknowledged me, dipping his cowboy hat. I said, you know what? This is okay. So I bent down to pick up my knish, and I look, and there's ants crawling all over it. How do ants get on your food in 15 seconds? I really don't understand that. Okay, is it like, do they have better sensory perception than dogs? Or are there like millions and gazillions of sentry ants that when a crumb falls to the ground, they sound out the alarm, and every ant comes running? I don't know what it is, but they were all over my knish. So I'm swiping them off, and I move the knish over. I said, let me get the hero sandwich. So I bend over to pick up the hero sandwich, and there's a bee on it. Now the bee is on my sandwich. I'm like, really? I'm trying really hard here. Okay, this is all I got. I'm getting a little frustrated. So I take in a sip of my Lipton iced tea, because that's really all we had back then. And now the bee is buzzing around my ear and my head. I'm like, this is pissing me off. Well, no sooner than that, the bee was down my shirt in the back. Okay, buzzing and running down my back. Now, any normal person would stand up. Well, I started screaming. And then I started running up and down the aisle, patting it on my back. The more I patted, the more the bee buzzed. And I was petrified that I was going to get stung. It wasn't working. And in the background, I knew Cowboy was thinking, what's that lunatic doing running? But there was nothing I can do. I had to get rid of this bee. So I stopped. I was in front of Ryan's gravesite. And I took off my shirt. And I flung it. And I waited a second. No more buzzing. I didn't feel anything on my back. I didn't get stung. It worked. Then I focused. And I looked straight ahead. And Cowboy was looking straight back at me. And his jaw was dropped to the ground. And he dropped the watering can. And I realized he was staring at my breasts in the flesh. And I think he was really happy to see me. And besides that, I really think it's the first time he saw breasts in the flesh in a very long, long time. Okay, don't get me wrong. I was embarrassed, okay? But I was trying to play it cool. Remember, I tossed my shirt. It was two grave sites over, okay? And my girls were just hanging out. So I bent down and casually picked up my New York Yankee blanket to cover the girls. And as I bent down to get my food, my face was right in front of the tombstone. And it had the inscriptions on it. Now, remember, I told you I hadn't been there in over 10 years. When those gates closed, I never came back. I never saw what my sister wrote on it. So it had my nephew's name, his date of birth, the date he died. But across the top, my sister had inscribed, make me laugh. Now, I'm looking up and I'm chucking. I'm going, really, Ryan? I was like, if this ain't making you laugh, I don't know what's going to make you laugh. Huh? Well, the floodgates started opening in my mind. And all I could think about was this happy child and all the memories I had with him, because that's all this kid would say. He would drive you crazy. Make me laugh, Dai-Dai, make me laugh. That's all he said to everyone. And I thought of all these funny memories and I was hysterical laughing. And I realized the joy I was feeling, that healed me. That actually healed me, and I knew I was never, ever going to have to appear and act in a way I didn't know how to act with a death ever again. To this day, folks, I love to bring a smile to people's faces. I love to make people laugh because I always have make me laugh in my mind. It brings joy to people. Find the time to bring a smile to someone's face, to bring joy, make them laugh, because truly, people, laughter is the best medicine.
Well, that's Story Jam Theater, and that's Diane, who was here a week or two ago. And, you know, that cowboy guy was telling that story to the day he died. I guarantee you.
Oh, he had to have been.
Now, you said you're familiar with Story Jam. Have you listened to it before?
Yeah, because of you and you going to PodFest, I've gotten hooked on Story Jam Theater. I've got hooked on his wife's show, which is Biz Women Rock.
Yep.
And Nick Snapp's Make It Snappy Productivity Show, who's partnering with you on the Sable Scoop show right now. So every time you go to PodFest, I get a new podcast in my queue to listen to.
I'm actually meeting with Katie and Chris tomorrow about their shows. We're having a meeting tomorrow in Tampa. So I'll be seeing them tomorrow. And Nick, who does the Make It Snappy show, is doing so. It is really a good show. And if you're concerned about productivity in your life, whether it's at work or home, you should take a listen to Make It Snappy. And he does a great job with it. And I think he gave us a shout out here on this last episode. So we appreciate that. So we'll do it. And do you know the website of that? Can you look that up a while? What Make It Snappy's website? Biz Women Rock is also a great show that Katie does. And everybody in this audience, I mean, 99% of our audience is women. And she has very successful women on the show and talks about how they treat their lives and how they treat their businesses and how they become so successful, but also kind of gives the roadmap of how to do that. So I listen to that show all the time. And she actually has a Facebook page called Biz Women Rock that's only for women. And she has that there as well that you can join. It's Biz Women Rock on Facebook as well. So that's Katie Kremitzos is her name. And she's a lot of fun, too. And what did you find? Is it makeitsnappy.com?
It's makeitsnappy.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yep. Makeitsnappy.com. Okay, good. So that if you want to listen
to... No, it's makeitsnappyshow.
Oh, makeitsnappyshow.com? Okay. Check it out.
Yeah.
And you can find it on iTunes as well, or your favorite podcast player, one of those places. So now we're even. Nick gave you a shout out too. Well, we are heading to Rolex here in a couple of weeks, and of course we'll be doing our meetup as usual, half an hour before jump number one on cross country day. So half an hour before jump number one on cross country day, you can join us. We'll hang out together. We'll take we usually start walking together as a big group, and then we will meet up later. Usually everybody separates and goes and watches the jumps they want to watch, and then later toward the end of cross country day, we will meet up at the Venting Nation and Horse Nation booth, and we'll talk to Leslie a little bit more about that here in a couple of minutes. But Jamie and I are going to be heading the trivia, and they always give away great prizes. So if you want to come by and win some prizes, you know, certain listeners might, you know, we might be picking on or calling on you sooner. You never know. So it might be worth stopping by at the booth there. Plus, they usually have free beer and food. So That's the other reason that the tailgate for Eventing Nation is so popular. But that's all coming up thanks to Bates Saddles, our title sponsor for our coverage of Rolex. We'll be doing recording two shows live for you there with a whole bunch of guests. And also, of course, the Clarion Hotel puts us up every time. The Clarion Hotel, as we understand it, is full for Rolex. But the next time you're heading to Lexington, head over to clarionhotellex.com. Well, that's all coming up in a couple of weeks, but right now we're going to play a song. I had a request, actually, from Jessica from Alabama, sent me a nice email saying how much she likes the show, and she also is friends with, I think, Marianne Kennedy, and really likes the song Born to Ride, so we're going to play that for you. And Jamie is off today. I'm joined by Lindsay, one of our auditors, is co-hosting today. Thank you, Lindsay. And we're coming back with Leslie from Horse Nation, but not only that, Lorraine Jackson is joining her, and we're going to make the official announcement on who has won the Horse Nation March Madness and who the final two were, all coming up on this morning's show. And of course, I don't have the song ready. Talk amongst
Come on,
yourselves.
Glenn.
I know.
Why would you do that? Why would you not? Why would you have the song ready? Why would you do that?
I know.
With all the sound problems we had this morning, you couldn't at least have the song ready.
Well, you know, that's why, is I was dealing with all your issues. Oh, there it is.
Oh, I see.
It's all your fault.
Ouch!
First word that I ever said, visions of galloping in my head, manes flowing, tails held high, I knew that I was born to ride. I was born to ride, like a bird was born to fly. Fish gotta swim, sun's gotta shine. Love me, love my horse, 'cause that's the way I'm gonna spend my life. 'Cause I was born to ride. The air I breathe, the way they move is poetry. Oh, never I grew them and I never will. On the day I die, I'll be loving them still. 'Cause I was born to ride. Of a horse, love me, love my horse, 'cause that's the way I'm gonna spend my life. 'Cause I was born to ride, born to ride. I was born.
was Marianne Kennedy with Born to Ride. You can find all of her music at mariannekennedy.com. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. Thank you so much for joining us. We're brought to you today by Omega Alpha Equine at omegaalphaequine.com. Well, there was big news here over the weekend, and that was in Miami on the beach. Miami Beach Grand Prix. It was the Longines Global Champions Tour Grand Prix of Miami Beach. We talked about it last week with Emily, and it went off very well. They had some big name guests there. Sir Michael Caine was there. L. McPherson was there. New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg watching his daughter ride. Senator Marco Rubio running for president was there. And singer Iggy Azalea was there as well. So they had a lot of celebrities there and apparently a good time. Judging by the pictures, it was absolutely beautiful. The class on the beach started with 50 riders, including 8 of the world's top 10 riders. So we had quite a showing there. 17 clears went through to the second round with 6 going into the jump off. And ending up winning was Edwina Topps Alexander. She is out of Australia and has been doing very well. She's holding the top spot right now on the tour. McLean Ward apparently brought the house down and sent up huge cheers when he went in for his final round for the jump off, and McLean came in second with Christian Allman from Germany in third place. So it was a lot of fun. They had a great time on the beach, and I know that that was a big hit, so they'll be doing it again. And yes, we got the mandatory shots, Lindsay, of bikinis looking over the wall at the horses jumping. So that seems to be the photographer's favorite for this show.
So the Horse Hubby show was covered for, you know, all their postings for a couple months, right?
Yes, exactly. We should have a lot of pictures to use for the Horse Hubby show because it includes bikinis and horses. So we're covered. It's all good.
Exactly.
Yeah. So that was a lot of fun and happened over the weekend. I wanted to also mention that the 2000, and we've covered this before too, the 2016 Time to Ride Challenge, which is put on by the American Horse Council, has now opened for registration. Stables, clubs, businesses, and all other horse professionals are welcome to visit timetoride.com and take the first step towards growing their business by introducing new people to horses and expanding the entire industry. Plus, they give away a lot of money. The challenge will award $100,000 in cash and prizes, and it takes place June 1st through September 30th. Registration is free and available right now at timetoride.com. We've had people on over the years talking about this, and it's been a big hit over past years, and it's done a lot of good. A lot of places in the Northeast have done it, and now it's expanding all across the country. This year, cash prizes have been expanded to over $75,000, including new incentives that will pay for cash awards to more winners than ever before. And for the first time, 100 hosts to include 100 newcomers to horses will automatically win $100 in cash. So this is all about your barn reaching out and helping new people find horses and get involved in the horse world. And that's all brought to you by the American Horse Council's Marketing Alliance at timetoride.com. So check that out. What else?
Sounds like a great program.
It is. It is a great program, and it's something that we talk about all the time. Is how do we get new people involved in horses? How do you get new kids involved? How do we make sure that there's somebody coming up and going to be riding those horses in the future in competition? And that's, you know, even when we were at the paint show yesterday, the demographic definitely was 35 to 55 year old women. You know, that was the demographic. I didn't see a lot of kids, teenagers, or even 20-year-olds there. So it definitely is something that every breed or sport or, you know, just everybody deals with. Well, it is that time of the week.
Horses, the ultimate frontier. These are the adventures of Horse Nation. Its weekly mission to explore strange equestrian behaviors and to exploit horse humor in the wacky world of horses.
And as usual, we have Leslie with us today. Hi, Leslie.
Hey, and hello to Lindsay. She's a good friend of Horse Nation and has done a little riding for us. So it's good to hear her on the air.
Lindsay, you've been holding out. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was a couple years ago. I did some riding for Horse Nation, and then life got in the way, and I've been trying to get back into it again, but I haven't quite gotten around to sending that article in yet.
See, that's life problem, you know?
Yeah.
Life. Well, you have another one of your writers joining us today, too, because we have an exciting announcement to make, and we have a Lorraine Jackson with us. Hi, Lorraine.
Howdy, y'all.
Lorraine, I gotta tell
you're
you before,
coming from Utah, there's no proper greeting.
That's true. You know what? You're the second Utah person we've had on the show this morning. Now we know there's two horse people in Utah. Hey, Lorraine.
Oh, yeah. Haley's a rock star.
Yes. And apparently is the one organizing everything now in Utah. So.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, I have to say before we get started, Lorraine, that I thoroughly enjoy your writing. You are terrific.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Yes, you are terrific. You know, you all do such a great job over there. But and I think Leslie would agree with me. Lorraine's articles or posts always have a certain flair to them that, you know, I start reading them and then I go, oh, this has to be one of Lorraine's. And then I look up and look. Leslie, am I wrong there? Everybody, every
no,
writer.
You are absolutely right.
Yeah.
She's brilliant.
Everybody has a little signature,
oh,
right?
Oh, that's very nice.
Like, you can tell Leslie's because they're always just a little offbeat and a little off color, and you can tell she's either drunk or hungover. See, that's how you tell Leslie's.
It's true. she's kind of the queen of irreverence, and she sets the tone.
That's right. Well, Lorraine, you're the one that started the, and what a amount of work this must have been. You're the one that started the Horse Nation March Madness Championship brackets. And we've been
talking
about it for the last couple of weeks here with Leslie. And last we talked, we were down to the final eight. But then we came down to the final two. And today we're going to make the announcement of the winner. So tell us who the top two were, who were competing head to head for the championship.
Oh, yeah. So our top two, it was pretty exciting because one whole side of the bracket was horses, the other side was humans. But I knew that the final smackdown was going to be pretty awesome of, like, top horseman versus top horse. So we narrowed it down to the god that is George Morris and the horse god that is Secretariat, which is just hilarious to me.
Now, I would like Leslie to tell everybody several weeks ago who I predicted would be in the top two.
You called it Uncle George.
I called Uncle George and Secretariat. I called them both.
So, I thought you were calling Zenyatta.
No, I think I called Secretariat.
I think that was Jamie.
Yeah, Jamie was calling Zenyatta. She was stuck on Zenyatta. But there's no way Zenyatta was going to beat Secretariat. That just wasn't going to happen. And these were votes by your readers, right, Lorraine?
These were both what, sorry?
These were votes by your readers, right?
Yes, votes from our readers, yes. And it was, like, people got really involved. Like, the comment sections would get a little heated sometimes about people, like, really rallying. Like, Black Beauty and Black Stallion, which was, like, an early battle, like, brought on some pretty hilarious conversations between people about, like, you know, causes versus, like, bad influence. Like, Black Stallion would definitely win hands down of, like most influentially, like, negative, like, to way too many people have now bought Black Stallions that shouldn't have because of that book. Like, that would be a whole other bracket, but
I can see you guys having a whole bunch of different brackets for different things. You could do movies and books. I mean, you could do everything with this setup.
Oh, you could. You totally could. In fact, next year I really want to do a separate bracket that's like a consolation bracket of, like, between, like, a contest of people you hate at the barn. But I think you'd be a real winner of, like, that guy that takes, like, 6.5 hours of running his horse at Liberty in the one open arena versus, like, the lady who's, like, always crying in the cross ties. I think that's really successful.
Oh, man. That would get heated.
And then the one who shows up hungover every day, Leslie. We'll have her in a cat, her own
cat. That's
Leslie. Oh, by the way, wait a minute, everybody. A moment of reverence.
What is my advice for your daughter? The best thing you can do for your daughter's writing career is have her take tennis lessons.
So we just had to hear from George because he's in the final two. Mm-hmm. So do we have a winner?
Drum roll.
We have such a winner. The absolute unquestionable winner. It is the 1973 Belmont Stakes all over again. Secretariat wins by 31 lengths.
Secretariat beat George.
Yep. Oh, he destroyed him. It's so sad. Yeah. He got 75% of the vote. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. He gave him a good run, but Secretariat pulled away in the home stretch.
As always.
As always.
Exactly.
You know,
he knows what he's doing.
Would you like to hear just a little bit of it? Let's take a listen.
The lead is increasing. Maybe a three and a half. He's moving into the turn. Secretariat holding on to a large lead. Dan is second, and then it's a long way back to Mike Allen and twice a print. They're on the turn, and Secretariat is blazing along. The first three quarters of a mile in 109 and 4/5. Secretariat is brightening now. He is moving like a tremendous machine. Secretariat by 12. Secretariat by 14 lengths on the turn. Cam is dropping back. It looks like they'll catch him today. And Mike Allen and Mike the Prince are both coming up to him now. The Secretariat is all alone. He's out there almost the 60th of a mile away from the rest of the horses. Secretariat is in a position that's impossible to get. He's into the stretch. Secretariat leads his field by 18 lengths. And now Price of Prince is taken second. Mike Allen is moved back to third. They're in the stretch. Secretariat has opened a 22-length lead. He is going to be the Triple Crown winner. Here comes Secretariat to the wire. An unbelievable, an amazing performance. He hits the finish 25 lengths.
He was 25 lengths in front of anybody. Mm-hmm.
it was
amazing.
Wow, that was pretty much the soundtrack to the Horse Nation March Madness championship.
Yeah, I looked at the votes and it was like 75% to 25%. I mean, pretty sad for old George, who has to be very pissed. And I wouldn't want to be in the clinic after he found that out.
No. Well, we kind of sold it in the championship round that, you know, like either Uncle George would get your votes because he makes you cry by making fun of you, or you give the vote to Secretariat because he makes you cry because you watch the Belmont again and makes everybody cry every time.
Aww. I don't know of any
other battle of tears.
I don't know of any other Triple Crown race that has had that margin of victory. I mean, I don't think there is one. Not that
it's never been repeated that I know of.
I mean, basically the other horses were at the last pole. I mean, they were making the last turn, and Secretariat was winning. I mean, just unbelievable. That horse's stride was amazing. Yeah. Well, now there is one. Now there is a article that you guys posted that Lindsay wants to talk to you about because she's a Western rider, and it was one of your most popular ones last week, Lindsay. Right? Didn't you want to talk to him about one?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. The nine things Western riders who wear helmets are tired of hearing. When I bought my horse, I swallowed my Western pride and got a helmet. And my husband, who also is learning to ride Western, doesn't wear one. And so he gave me a couple of these when I bought mine the first time out.
Mm-hmm. So what were a couple of them?
Oh, don't you trust your horse? Helmets
that
look
one,
stupid.
You know, that one is one that I've heard so much. I think, isn't that like the number one, guys? Don't you trust your horse? Because the Western people are all really into trusting your horses. And you know what? All of us are into trusting our horses. But horses are horses. And
I'll give you a story here. My husband's horse is the best husband, babysitter, kids horse you could ever dream of. I mean, she is amazing. And he was out riding her one day because he was warming her up so that his mom could ride her. And all of a sudden, on his brand new saddle, the D-ring for the breast collar hadn't been installed properly, and it snapped. And when that happened, the breast collar flung around and wrapped around his mare's leg, and she went into a panic and bucked him off and threw him into a dirt bank. And, I mean, this is the most gentle, mellow horse I've ever met in my life. And, you know, she went and threw him in the dirt because of a tack failure. And I trust that horse with anybody.
You know, I'm reading Dr. Tucker's book right now. I don't know if you guys know Dr. Tucker. He's an equine dentist that travels the East Coast, and he has a book out, and I'm reading it right now. Matter of fact, he's going to be here doing our horse's teeth next week, I think. I'm reading his book now, and he worked at a couple of thoroughbred and breeding farms over the years, and he says in there over and over and over again, you know, he's treated thousands of horses, and he says it's the quiet ones that hurt you. He, you know, because they get spooked, you're not expecting it, and you take your guard down. It's those horses that will hurt you. And it's not intentional. It's that stupid stuff, right? It's that stupid stuff that causes the problem, but they're the ones that are going to hurt you because your guard's down. You know, and you know, I love exactly. The Christopher Reeve one. Christopher Reeve was wearing a helmet and he still got paralyzed. You know, well, that was more of a neck injury than a head injury. You know, that's one. You know, and I love this one too. What are you, some kind of English rider? Whoa. Okay.
That was my opinion for a very, very long time, that English riders wore helmets because they jumped.
What made you change your mind? What made you get off the bandwagon and start wearing a helmet?
Really it was Horse Radio Network, listening to people talking about helmets. Tammy Strons had a big part in it because I'm like, okay, she's a world-class Western rider and she can suck it up and wear a helmet. I think I can get over my ego enough to put one on, because I'd never get on my bike without a helmet. So why would I get on my half ton horse who's got a mind of her own without one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well said. Well said. Well, I know you have to run. Lindsay has to cut out a little bit early. She actually has a life. So thank you so much for joining us today and filling in. I think only the second time that we've ever had a listener co-host today. And I'm sure Jamie appreciates it now that she's, you know, sitting on the beach in Hawaii. But thank you so much, Lindsay.
Thank you for having me. It has been a blast.
And as I said, if you want to hear more about Lindsay, head over to Stable Scoop episode 390. We did her part of the Year of the Listener. We interviewed Lindsay that week, so you can hear that there. Take care, Lindsay. Have a great day.
Take care. See y'all later.
All right, Leslie and Lorraine, you guys, Lorraine wrote an article, and I love these because I'm a history nut, Weird But True Olympic Eventing History. You've been kind of doing history of the Olympics, and this was out of the 1920 Olympics, which were in Antwerp. So tell us about this.
Yeah, I mean, this is a really fascinating series, and Leslie kind of fixed me on this because I have a history on history at Horse Nation, and it's been really, really fun to get into like the nitty gritty of like early eventing, which is just a completely crazy like offshoot of what we know as eventing today. So to kind of like get to see our roots like what, you know, our forefathers fought for to kind of build the sport is really fun. This definitely would have been the year that Leslie should have competed because there was no dressage.
Yeah, this is my dream version of sportive eventing. Right?
What, no dressage? And
like it's, yeah, no dressage, and you have to like ride 30 miles first. Like first you just have to get completely exhausted, and then you can do the actual eventing. That's very important in early eventing. But yeah, nothing pretty about it, which is just fabulous. It's really fun because the early American teams were all military. And, you know, this was not unlike the training that they were doing in Fort Riley, you know, for all cavalry horses. But like when you think through the logistics of getting these horses by ship to Europe and like the logistics of training and then going and competing in this like completely bizarre event. It's really amazing. And actually like the 1920 Antwerp Games in particular, you can tell like really set the stage for the next 30 years of like the U.S. breeding program and developing a different kind of thoroughbred and like really trying to up our game. Like Europe kind of set the standard, and we kind of came to fight after that. So,
and this was an interesting time too. I know a little bit about this era. This was an interesting time too because it was right at the end of World War One. World War One ended in 1918, and then you had this Olympics in 1920, which and the fact that a lot of these guys who rode in the Olympics that year were in the war, so these were kind of battle-hardened veterans. And and remember, we were fighting wars with horses for the most part back then. And, these guys would have ridden horses in battle. And, the fact that nobody was shooting at them while they were doing the jumps was probably nice.
Refreshing.
Yeah. I can do this.
That was a nice thing.
But isn't that the cool thing about the Olympics, though? People just, all the countries just, or most of the countries are able to just set aside their differences and their disputes and their histories and just, just all be human beings, that's cool.
Well, and I think
I think
go ahead.
That definitely shows at the Antwerp Games. You could definitely feel like that, and like even the competitors even remarked about it, that it just felt like a really different experience of feeling sportsmanship and seeing people conquering and overcoming. And yeah, it's very powerful to read some of that early stuff.
Well, what country won?
Not us, that's for sure.
So nothing's changed.
It was a rough year for the U.S. eventing.
It was. Yeah, this was not a meddling year for us. Like, one guy broke his hand on the first day, and horses went lame, and it was a kind of a crushing year, despite every attempt to make it work. Americans did not have a good year. I think Sweden was really dominant for the early, like, Swedish equestrian is not something that, like, I feel like you heard a lot from, like, the kind of the 1960s on. They were not a player, but in those early days, the Swedes, man, they were tough.
And hello to all of our Swedish listeners. We have a lot of listeners over there. We're going to be starting a Swedish show here shortly. So, they really were. But it shows the Europeans beating up on us. So nothing's changed in 100 years.
Yes.
Still the same. And at Rolex, we got Michael Young coming over to beat us up even some more.
I know.
Jeez. Yeah. Well, these are great articles. I really like them. You can find that. It's titled, let me get to the top here. This article is titled Weird But True Olympic Eventing History, Antwerp 1920 at horsenation.com. Is this also at Eventing Nation, or is it at both, or just Eventing Nation?
I think it's just Eventing Nation.
Just Eventing Nation. All right, so head over to Eventing Nation for that one. You guys kind of write for both, so you can find that there. Some great pictures in there, too. I love the old pictures. Well, we have to mention real quick before we go here that, and I talked about a little earlier in the show, we're going to be meeting at Rolex. We're doing a listener meetup, and any of your Horse Nation fans are welcome to join us. We always meet a half an hour before the start across country at jump number one. And then we kind of walk a couple of jumps together and all split off. And then we're going to regroup at your tent, right, Leslie? Is that what we're doing?
Yeah, we are. And I'll try and be there for the – I think I was able to meet up with you guys for a few minutes the last time you were there. So, yeah, we're going to – I can't wait. Cross country is my favorite day.
It's going to be so much fun. And then we're – Jamie and I are helping out a little. What do we got to do again?
Oh, you guys are hosting trivia again. You guys did such a great job of it a couple years ago. Rolex Trivia is a grand Vending Nation tailgate tradition, and very important and very prestigious. And
you win prizes. That's the other thing. More importantly, you win stuff.
We've got some amazing swag this year. I can't even wait to unveil it.
Jamie was pissed, actually, when I asked her. She said, I got out of it last time because I wanted to be able to win prizes. I said, you got to work this time. No prizes for you.
We'll just give you some freebies.
Savor a beer or something.
Of course.
Well, we're looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun. And we'll be seeing you guys in a couple of weeks.
Can't wait.
Thanks, Lorraine. Take care.
Anytime.
All right. We'll see you.
Bye.
Thanks, Leslie.
Sure thing.
HorseNation.com. And we have one more caller. We'll wrap the day up. And I can't think of anybody better to end the day with than Dr. Ellen. Hi, Dr. Ellen.
Hi, good morning from New York City. What good. A great, fun, eclectic show.
Yeah, it's definitely been eclectic, that's for sure. A little bit of everything.
Well, we do miss Jamie.
Yes,
we
I miss Jamie,
Jamie.
Too.
I'm so jealous that she's in Hawaii. It's on my to-do list.
Well,
but I wanted to call in just to talk about what I did over the weekend.
What'd you do?
Which is something very new to me and exciting. I didn't go as a doctor. I went as a participant. And it's something called EGALA. EGALA, which is Equine-Assisted Growth and Learning Association, and it's an exciting approach to helping people through horses. It was a demo and networking at a place up in Salisbury Mills, Stonehaven Stables, and it was attended by psychologists, social workers, and EGALA-certified people, and it's an approach to helping people with depression, PTSD, through horses and their interaction with horses. It's guided by certified instructors who role play, who have particular modalities to help. And I knew nothing about it. My girlfriend invited me to go. And you were talking about laughter before, helping with tragedy and trauma and death, and your Story Jams podcast was interesting. This is another approach with horses. And it's been around for a while, I think about 1999. I don't know a lot about it. I am learning about it. And it was just something that was interesting to me because it's also personal development. And I had posted it on Facebook, and some of the Horse Radio Network auditors were talking about different facilities that they've been to. It approaches with breast cancer patients and coping mechanisms. And I got to role play. I played a veteran, and the modalities that they came up with the horses and approaching them, it might be we were grooming them. It might be we were talking about our life as a veteran or with PTSD. And they were giving us approaches with the horses to help us work through perhaps anger or our depression. And I think it's such a complementary modality, even for us as doctors to use, et cetera.
Well, you know, there were. I know that you work with cancer patients, and I know there's a couple of these programs
yeah.
around the country that also work with cancer patients.
You know, I didn't even know that.
Yep, there
that's,
are.
That's exciting.
Yep,
to offer another approach rather than just throwing medication at them.
Right,
et cetera.
Right. And, you know, then that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to, you know, the healing power of horses again. That's what they're trying to accomplish with all of those programs. I know Monty does a lot with the veterans, and there's a lot more veterans programs now across the country, and they're having great success with that, especially with and you got to experience that. When you were looking at it, because you were looking at it not only as a horse person, but also from the doctor's point of view, it must have been very interesting seeing it out of both lenses.
You know what? It was. And I had even volunteered to in the role playing because it was something that was new to me. Again, I deal with evidence-based medicine and protocols, and I have an interest in stem cells, et cetera. And this is really an alternative methodology to cope with a part of the patient's body, mental, that sometimes we forget. And we don't always have quick access to therapy. We have to, you know, think on our feet and help people. And I'm trying to think about how to incorporate it here in our practice in New York. Again, in Midtown Manhattan, I don't have a lot of access to horses unless I can come up with something perhaps with the Central Park people. And of course, time-wise, you really have to be certified. It's not something that I can just go out
right.
and do.
Right.
The people there were very well educated, very knowledgeable. And it's important to have a standardized approach to this. And it's just, the potential, I think, is just tremendous. And I can't believe I knew nothing about it.
Yeah, you got
to look them. We've had them to go.
We've had them on shows through the years. We should get somebody back again. It's been a while since we've talked about that. You know, it's interesting here you to talk because really what we're talking about is alternate medicine, right? We're talking about alternate forms of medicine,
yes.
whether it's psychological or whatever. And until I
got acupuncture or something
right.
like that.
You know, until I met Dr. Wendy and got Lyme disease and really right. was forced to start looking at alternate things, because there's nothing really for chronic Lyme patients that is in the traditional world, you know, and started looking at diet and herbs and things, different things through the non-traditional medical. Have you found that, and you're in a big city, so this would be an interesting answer. I think in the country, the doctors have had more experience with this. But in the big city, have you found more traditional medical doctors accepting alternate forms of medicine now? Acupuncture
what a great
and
question.
Things.
That is absolutely true. Here in New York City, we are starting to have departments of integrative medicine, departments of regenerative medicine, at all the major institutions, in particular Mount Sinai, and also at NYU. And it's really important to have these modalities for patients. Also, you'll find at Cornell and even, I believe, at Sloan Kettering, there's Reiki being done on the cancer patients. There is acupuncture. And we have to have an open mind, especially in the 21st century, to these other modalities. And in 2016, I'm on a personal journey to be more open to these modalities, to be more creative. And I've reached out to other physicians who are well-known in this area to educate me first and then try to bring it forward to my colleagues or in our practice with my husband here in the city, et cetera. And again, I was just lucky. I had Lyme disease also. But again, because I'm a physician of so many years, I knew what to look out for, and I had the antibiotics available there. So I understand the worry about getting it again or chronic Lyme disease and the need to have other modalities available for people for all different disorders. That's why I found this so interesting about the horses, and also why I wanted to call in. There are certainly many more people better educated than I about Igala, and I can put you in touch with those people to come on to speak on Horse Radio Network. So I honestly appreciate the opportunity to come on just as a participant at Igala, who happens to be a doctor here in New York City, to present this forward, because it is, I think, potentially has much more far-reaching effects. Because again, it was also for addicted individuals. It was for young people who really need other modalities other than just antidepressants or anti-anxiety meds. And for some reason, this is the way life is going. We need other ways of calming, whatever. A lot of the reason why I go up to the country and go to the barn, to just sit with the horse, to decompress with daily life, et cetera. And then there's a positivity about it. And it's good that Horse Radio Network is bringing this forward. And speaking about Lyme disease, speaking about these podcasts, my initial reaction when this woman was talking about death was, what is Glenn doing on the radio? And then I realized the broader picture, so thank you.
Yep, that's right. And, you know, I knew that people would have that reaction when they heard this morning that, you know, Diane's also very funny, and in the end got that across. But
yes, she was.
It also, you know, it made a really good point, and it's a point that we deal with when we lose horses too. I mean, it's not just people, but you know, when we lose horses or dogs or cats or whatever, you know, whatever in life, and that is kind of why I wanted to play that one. So I'm glad you got the point of it. I was hoping that people would. Well, Dr. Ellen, we've run out of time. Thank you for helping us take the show out today, and once again, you know, I talk about you all the time. Thank you for listening in New York.
Thank you. Have a great day, and just keep on listening, et cetera.
All right. See you, Dr. Ellen. Well, that's it for today. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll be back tomorrow with the endurance episode. And Jennifer, we had to record this interview, but Jamie talked last week about a woman who is starting in California, I believe, next week. She's taking her thoroughbreds and going to ride them across the country. And she said we should get her on. Well, certain Karen got ahead of that, and we will actually be doing an interview with Mrs. Ashker tomorrow and talking about her trip across the country riding thoroughbreds, and that's coming up on tomorrow's Endurance episode. Karen Chatton actually has been helping her out a bit in the preparations and getting ready for that. And then Jamie should be back on Wednesday, providing she comes home from Hawaii or not. We're hoping that she comes home. All of that coming up. Thank you so much, and we'll talk to you all later. Have a great day.